You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Do you recognize those lyrics? Yep, that's the great hymn that has introduced our Through the Bible program for decades, because it represents the only true, sure foundation that we have in this ever-changing world, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's word. Although many of us would like to put our trust and hope in our family or church or even in our country, you know, the truth is God is the only firm foundation upon which we can rely. If you wonder what that means for the United States, then you've come to the right place as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers the question with clarity. Let's listen as he introduces our study.
Now we come to a chapter that reveals the ultimate victory of God. That is, though he's going to judge the nation Israel because of their sin, and their responsibility was great because they had light that no other nation had, and as a result, God judged them at that time, but that he ultimately and finally would have the victory because they would in the last days return to him. And that'll be the subject of this chapter now that we're coming to. May I say that all of this does have application for us today. Only when we get to this chapter, I find no place in the Word of God where the United States is mentioned, especially in the last days, which means we probably have passed off the stage as a great world nation. There is no great turning of this nation to God as far as the Word of God is concerned, because it doesn't deal with us as a nation. And that's the reason God's people in this nation today, in the light God has given us, does create a responsibility. I think our responsibility is greater. And I think we're in graver danger today than we've been told. And I'm not attempting to pontificate about prophecy, nor do I attempt to be a doomsday speaker, but may I say to you that we just well take our head out of the sand today, as the proverbial ostrich failed to do, and recognize that we are in grave danger in this hour. I trust this section of the Word of God may have a message for us as individuals.
Although Dr. McGee recorded those words many years ago, we can certainly relate to them. We face many grave dangers as a nation and personally as Christians. So the responsibility to share God's word is still ours and still needed. Well, here at Through the Bible, God continues to open the doors into the whole world as we share his word through trusted and true methods, and also in new and exciting ways. And we'd like to invite you to partner with us in prayer. In fact, I'd invite each one of you personally to join me and thousands of other warriors in traveling the globe and praying for one country at a time by joining our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. Now, as a member of this important ministry team, it's really simple. All we ask you to do is pray, nothing else. So please join us by signing up at ttb.org/pray to start receiving our daily emails Monday through Friday that are filled with inspiring stories from and about God's people and work all around the globe. Now, we really do believe there's nothing more important that you can do for this ministry than to support us in prayer, and we're so grateful for those of you who partner with us and make it possible by asking God to bless us as we take his word to the whole world, and God is faithful. Again, the address to join is ttb.org/pray. Now, before we dive into Hosea, let me share a letter that illustrates the purpose and impact of your prayers. It's from a listener in Burundi who listens in his language of Swahili. Hello, I express my gratitude for the program that you have provided. Before embarking on this program, I was lost and hopeless. Now my beliefs have been transformed, and I repented and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I look forward to meeting you in heaven. It will bring great joy to see you there. Well, praise God. And you know, That's the reason we teach God's Word, and that's the reason we ask you to join us in prayer. As we begin our study now, let's bow our heads and commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Word takes root and grows in the hearts and minds of all who are listening. Thank you for changing lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now it's time for our study in Hosea 5. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come here to the sixth chapter, I must say it's not quite as doleful as chapter 5 was, which was entirely judgment. And here the subject is, Israel will return in the last days, but presently they're to be judged for their current sins of that day. But there is the hope that we have here. Now, God says here in verse 15 that closes chapter 5, he says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now, God says, until they call upon me, I will go and return. That is, I will not deliver them until they turn to me. That is the thought that you have here. Now, their great sin, as we see, has been idolatry. Now, will you notice? He says, verse 1 of chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. As it were, for that day, it was God's last call to the nation, the northern kingdom. And it was also a warning to any nation that has made a profession of being a Christian nation that has had the benefit of the Word of God. A great principle is put down here. And this also looks to the future, that God's future plan is that he will heal them. Though he's torn them, he intends to bind them up. Now, verse 2 is a remarkable verse. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, here is something I would like to develop, but do not have time to do so, but let me give you a line that you can pursue. In the third day he will raise us up. Now, that's interesting in the light of the resurrection of Christ on the third day. And he was raised for our justification today, both Jew and Gentile. And may I say that that will be applicable in that day, because you will find in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and we've already been over that, and you'll recall that God speaks of the day that he will bring them back into that land and bring them to himself as a resurrection. And it will be based on the one who was raised on the third day. It rests upon that because there was a redemption provided and a justification that if any man will accept, will bring him into a right relationship with Almighty God. And Paul develops that in the 11th chapter of Romans. I would like to turn to it, but I'm having to resist the temptation to do that because we want to move into this chapter a little farther. I doubt whether we will, but we hope to. And in the 11th chapter, God receives this nation back, which he intends to do after he completes his purpose in the church and takes the church out of the world, which is made up of both Jew and Gentile, people out of every tribe and nation. And I believe that today, and I'm not sure what radio is going to be the means, it's penetrating every corner of the globe today. Now, our program is, and there are other programs, and the Word of God is going out today by men who are giving sound teaching. And I believe that there are going to be people out of every tongue and tribe and nation that are going to come before him in the church to worship. Now, after God gets through with that program, he turns again to this nation, and he's going to raise them up. This prophecy, as every prophet that wrote in the Scripture and some that didn't write, spoke of God's future purpose for the nation Israel. Even Moses, before they could even get in the land, began to talk about the day would come when for the third time he'd restore them back to the land. It would be a permanent restoration in the land. And on the third day, he'd do it. It would be the third. The third day, he raised Christ from the dead. And that just doesn't happen to be an accidental number, by the way. Now, let me read verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, I'm going to hold till we get to Joel, talk about the former and the latter rain. And there are those that say that the latter rain is returned to that land. I had heard a great deal about that before. I have made several trips to Israel now. I don't think that you could say that either former or latter rain is returned. They have a certain amount of rainfall, but it's much less than Southern California. And it's not the rain that makes this the Garden of Eden, and also a Garden of Eden that's filled with smog and traffic, but it's irrigation that does that. And Israel actually doesn't have enough water to irrigate everything over there today. You couldn't say we're seeing the fulfillment of that. But again, when these people turn to God, not only does a blessing come to the people, but it'll come to the land, comes to the animal world. That's the great solution to even ecology today. I get so weary of these ecologists telling you how they think that it ought to be done. Of course, most of them are not involved financially in any of these things, but they, for instance, don't want oil brought from way up in Alaska. Well, if I interpret the conditions rightly, we've got to have oil. And we're going to be in a bad fix if we don't get it. But friends, just as soon as man gets moving in that area, he'll spoil it, because man's a sinner, and he spoils everything that he can. We're even now making the moon a garbage dump. We got a lot of it up there already, and I guess we'll keep on. And we do need a place to dump garbage. There's no question about that. I won't argue that point. But the important thing is, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. That is the very secret of the solution to the problem of life, is to know the Lord. And Paul, even after he came to the end of his life, that was still his ambition, that I might know him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his image. And there's no way for improvement in this world apart from a knowledge of God. Now, the Word of God's very emphatic about that. Neither it's right or it's wrong. So far, after all these thousands of years, it's been proven right. And I don't think this present generation is upsetting it by any means. Now, let's move on here. Verse 4. He says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goeth away. Now, God says this as if he is just a little bit confused. He's frustrated. Well, what am I going to do with you? I love you, but you continue on in sin, and I'm going to have to judge you. You see, it puts God on the horns of a dilemma. A judgment is a strange work of God. He wants to save, not judge. But when people keep turning away from God, then the day comes when he has to judge them. Now, these people were religious, but you see, they had no knowledge of God, and they were far from God. May I again bring this up today? We today have a lot of religion, and I'm opposed to religion today. But here in a newspaper where the editor permits people to write in their viewpoint, and someone wrote, the editor here, he says, in today's society, religion has outlasted its usefulness. Man at long last has outgrown the necessity for this opiate. No longer does he have to explain the unknown with folk tales and the worship of a superior being. In a complex society such as ours, religion can only mute and cloud the mind. Religion blurs and distorts important details and information, interferes with important decisions, and promotes bigotry and prejudice. Now is the time for humanity to discard this mental blindfold. And I'm going to say something that'll startle you. I agree with that. I wish we could get rid of religion today. And somebody answered that. And they did it so much better than I could. Let me read what they wrote, and the editor published it. It says, in response to the April 26 letter entitled, Religion Termed Mental Blindfold, I agree with Mr. So-and-so about the effects of religion. For religion is man's attempt to reach God through his own efforts. I have never been a religious man, but about 4 years ago, something happened that has really changed my life. I invited Jesus Christ to take control of my life and accepted the fact that I cannot reach God by myself, but that he has made a relationship with him possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Since that commitment, I have grown increasingly aware of my social responsibility and have grown to love and accept myself and other people regardless of age, race, creed, or color. And I don't think you could improve upon that. And I appreciate the person in San Diego who sent that to me, by the way. And it's so applicable in a situation like this. People today say, out with religion. I say, fine, let's sweep it out the back door. And let's let Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shine in. That's the important thing, you see. Now, these people, they were going through religion. They were religious. But their goodness was like a morning cloud. It's just all form, ritual, and ceremony. And like the early dew, it goeth away. And that's all in the world that their religion was. And a great many people today, they wear religion like you'd wear some loose-fitting garment, something you can put on and take off at any time. Well, that's the thing that God's condemning them for. They were religious, but they didn't know God. And they had never had really a transforming experience. And I personally, though, in this first letter that I read here, I don't appreciate the assumption of a writer like this that he has, and his little crowd of liberals today, have a monopoly on intellectualism, and they have a monopoly on all the brains of the world. The fact of the matter is, if you want to weigh brains, there just have been about as much on one side as the other. Even today, it's about equally balanced. There was a time when it was all on the side of the Word of God. That, of course, is not true today. But I do think it's pretty well balanced today. So this assumption that we've reached a high intellectual level and we can get rid of God, my friend, that's the problem. Religion has kept a great many people from knowing God. Now, listen to him. He still talks to them here. He says, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. God says, I skinned them alive with the prophets. I appreciate the letters that I get that commend us for just giving the word out as it is. Hew to the line, let the chips fall where they may. I've done that in all my ministry. And I've always found that the real folk always want to hear the word of God. And the others, you expect to hear from them that they oppose you. And personally, I don't mind that at all. I appreciate those, however, that stand with us in this kind of a ministry. And I believe that we ought to give the Word of God out just like that, by the way. And that's exactly what God says here to his people. He says, I've skinned you alive with the prophets. They have really gone after you, but you didn't listen to them. And that's been the problem today. We rejoice in the tremendous outreach that we have, but we recognize it's really a small minority when you really get down to basic facts. There has been a great interest in turning to the Word of God, but again, how much of it has really been genuine, you see? And I see people turning in all directions today, going the wrong way. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I've slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as light that goeth forth. You see, it wasn't for the lack of information or the availability of it. God had sent them prophets, but they had turned their back. Now God says in verse 6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." You see, they were going through a form. And I'd like to say this very carefully. You can go to church on Sunday and be as fundamental as anyone can be. You criticize the preacher, criticize the choir, criticize everybody. And maybe they deserve it. I don't know. But may I say to you, until you can put the Word of God in shoe leather and let it get down out yonder where the rubber meets the road, and there be an evidence of mercy in your own heart and in your own life, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." And don't think that going to some church banquet, which is sort of a burnt offering anyway, that somehow or another is a substitute for really eating the bread of life and carving off a nice big porterhouse steak out of the Word of God and studying the Word of God. No substitute at all. Now, let me move hurriedly here. "But they, like man, have transgressed the covenant." That is, God's covenant with this nation. "Therefore have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of those who work iniquity and is polluted with blood." But you see, there will be a bomb out of Gilead. We need that bomb today. But what came out of there? Iniquity. Verse 9, "And his troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness." In other words, the priests, in refusing to give men the water of life or to give them the bread of life, were actually committing murder. And I'll be honest with you, I think a minister that stands in the pulpit and doesn't give the Word of God out is guilty, just as we have it stated right here. I didn't think of that. The Word of God says it here. You're guilty of murder, my friend. Now, verse 10, "I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set in harvest for thee." In other words, your day is coming. This is a warning for them. "When I return the captivity of my people." Now, there's a day coming. God says, "I'm going to return them, bring them back to the land. But now I have to judge them for their sin." Now that brings us now down to chapter 7 here. God's continuing on here. In fact, here from chapter 7 through 12, we have Israel could escape judgment by turning to God, the one who loves her, and the only one who does love her, and the only one that can help. I've picked out of this section here, verse 8, as being a key to the entire section. Won't have time to go into the chapter, so let me just lift out this key verse. Verse 8, chapter 7 of Hosea. "Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned." And have you ever cooked pancakes? In that day, they cooked bread on hot stones and no oven. And when you cook pancakes on top of the stove, I know my mother used to, sometimes she'd forget, and they'd be burned on one side and raw on the other side, blow hot and cold. One day, while these people are running to the temple, bowing down, going through the rituals, you see, the next day, they're out living for the devil. You see, hot on one side, burnt on one side, and on the other side, raw. Absolutely. That's a picture. I would say today that's a picture of a great many professing Christians. That is a great many church members today. Burned on one side, raw on the other side. And that was a picture of this nation. We'll see that when we get into chapter 7 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
It's sad to say that a great many church members are like the Israelites. But if you'd like to live a life that's pleasing to God, we offer an entire library of resources to help you do that. Just visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. From digital booklets and online study guides to complete collections of Dr. McGee's 5-year journey through the Word of God, they're all available in a variety of formats, and we offer all sorts of materials, all for the purpose of helping you deepen your own personal study of the Bible. So what are you waiting for? One specific resource I want to draw your attention to is Dr. McGee's booklet, Tested and True, Lessons on Faith from God's Classroom. It's based on the book of James. This great teaching takes us to God's classroom where we learn valuable lessons on living the Christian life, all revolving around one important theme, faith. And we'll also learn that as our teacher, God gives us tests. How do we spot them? Well, why does God allow them? James gives us three good reasons. You can download a free copy anytime at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find what you're looking for. The Bible bus continues to roll along through the Old Testament book of Hosea. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard and join us.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord, and I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power, praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we are doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership, praise God. Because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word, praise God, and bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God, because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out the devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that when he was casting out devils by the the prince of the devil's Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God. But I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, in your body is God's temple. Let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now, the word of God tells us that you've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonates, that has power. I said power. Glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king. Glory to God. And his name is King Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody out there right now in Radio Land should be shouting that it's King Jesus. Glory to God. You're in his kingdom. The kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power. Praise God. And not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power. Praise the name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Glory, you want to read that verse of scripture today in Matthew? Praise God.
Matthew 6, but I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink.
Glory to God.
Nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one. Uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here that seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he said seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first, and then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned. He will add those things unto you, and not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God, because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowship. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that we that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence. Your body would be his temple, and his spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there would be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get blessed. Hallelujah. Not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah, are you listening to me out there in radio land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power, hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I say power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God. Mensa Gloria.
Right. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things, but I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in Radio Land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real, real power that's demonstrated in and through you. Glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. Otherwise, depend totally upon me, because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming and is now where we as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ will sit at the feet of the master. Listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus and say, Master, glory to God, teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm. My God, demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said demonstrate that power. My God, let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. Through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria, hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am, and you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them, he said, listen, the king, they're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom, and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said, I'm in that kingdom, and that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability, instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet and get their sermons and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us, and that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him and allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right, I see that I have about 30 seconds left. I just want to tell you, don't forget this Saturday, praise the Lord. I hate to cut off a message just to talk about some natural food, but I want to tell you that this Saturday, between the hours of 10 and 12, New Life Assembly will be distributing food. Come, bring an ID, and receive. Praise God. We thank the Lord for everybody that will receive in Jesus' name. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.